Hello.
Hey, hello and welcome. We're here. Well, we made it.
Yeah, we're kind of here. Sort of.
Kind of here.
Mostly.
I'm here. But is anybody
Eric
really
is not here?
Eric is not here.
Yeah, that's true. Eric is not here.
Eric has passed away.
He has passed away.
He's gardening accident.
I mean, we're assuming. So, Eric is such a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. He decided to go out into the wild to try to recreate the game. Before he left, he stripped down to his underwear to have the perfect Zelda experience. And he just walked out of a cave, and we haven't heard from him since.
I knew it was all over. I knew it was all over when he made that risotto stuff from the game.
Right? it was just starting, and we could see it. We knew the path he was going down.
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope.
It really is.
Sure.
So how's your guys how's everybody doing? Everybody feeling good?
Feeling good so far. Working through it. Working through a week. Busy week. Hectic week. Oh my God. This week.
I want to say my week is busy, but it actually hasn't been. I've done nothing. I watched all of the Defenders. I did work. I went to work. some days I stayed late at work. Most days I didn't. So it was a pretty light week. I watched all of the Defenders on Netflix.
What is that?
So the Defenders takes Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and puts them all into one series Avengers style.
Crazy.
A few episodes or something. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. As good as season one or two of Daredevil, but like that's a pretty high TV bar.
Yeah.
I totally recommend watching it. Really? Oh, you should watch Daredevil. Like start with Daredevil. It's amazing.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Fair enough. Has anybody seen It yet?
No, we are getting.
I want to see that. I haven't seen.
I think we're gonna go see it tomorrow. We're gonna go see it tomorrow, so it should be good.
Nice. Let me know how it is.
We'll do. Absolutely.
I am not a big horror movie guy.
Really?
Like, I love playing horror games, but I don't go to horror movies. Like the last horror movie I went to was like some slaughter B movie at Christmas time thing. Like it was. It was just bad. And the vast majority of horror movies aren't the kind of things that will psychologically shake you to your core. It's like, oh, wow, look, it's a jump scare. Okay, that was fun. It's cheap horror thrills.
It's one of those genres of movies where most of them are not very good, but there are some that are really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's two kinds, too. There's the ones that are marketed towards like teenagers going to the movie with their girlfriends and, you know, woo, spooky kind of, but whatever. And then there's the ones that are like, you know, like slasher movies for all the dudes that grew up in the 80s and are like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, guy with the machete. Right. And then there are ones, then there are like really actually psychologically creepy ones that are a little more, I don't want to say artsy, but more... what's the word?
What?
Sits I want to say good because like they put more thought into it. It's less of a you know, we make this movie to make money. It's like we made this movie to actually scare you or to make you uncomfortable or to tell the story.
Right.
A good example of that is It Follows. That's a good one to watch and the sound actually, Tom, this is interesting for you because the guy that did the soundtrack to It Follows is the guy that did the soundtrack to Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's crazy.
So even if you don't watch the movie, listen to the soundtrack. It's very creepy. And also that same sort of, you know, electronic sound to it. It's cool.
That's interesting. Nice. That's crazy. It's cool when things like transition back and forth between film and gaming. You don't get that. You don't get that often except for like voice actors.
Yeah.
I wish more scary movies took the psychological road because, you know, like I thought the first Dead Space was good because it had like this really oppressive atmosphere. And then like towards the end of the game, it got really, really heavy on the jump scares. And then Dead Space 2 and 3 are just trash.
Action games.
They're action games with jump scares. But like I really want like a Silent Hill equivalent movie, like something that just fucks with you and stays with you way long after you leave the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I watched The Defenders. Yeah.
We're good at this.
I restarted Jessica Jones, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, I've known people who have complained about the writing and they say, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. I hate all the actors. I hate the writing. I hate what this is about. But if you ever wanted to see David Tennant play the creepiest, by far, literally, honestly, the creepiest character I have ever seen, film or television, you have to watch Jessica Jones. Kilgrave is like, he drips creep. It is amazing. And it's like, I have never felt uncomfortable watching David Tennant on a TV screen, but it's just, oh, holy shit. It fucks with you. It's great. So yeah, I recommend Jessica Jones. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I like it.
I'll add that to my list of things I haven't watched yet that I should have already watched.
I don't think I've ever watched. I haven't watched any of the superhero series, like TV series. I don't think I've watched any of them
either. Yeah.
Let's start with Daredevil. Daredevil is fantastic.
Okay.
So you'll start with Daredevil, right? And you'll get to the end of season one. You'll be like, holy shit, now I need to know everything. And then you can go through Jessica Jones. You can go through Luke Cage. Luke Cage is really good. Daredevil season two is fucking incredible. And then, you know, top it all off with the Defenders. Skip Iron Fist. He's a whiny bitch. His series sucks. Fuck him. I hate the guy. Fan.
0 out of 10.
Yeah. -3 out of 10. Get out of here.
Like, oh my God. Even get him and the Netflix. Defenders. Like, I hated him in The Defenders because everything was just like, oh, woe is me, such and such backstory. And everyone else is like, dude, pull your skirt up, man. Come on. He's just over in the corner crying. It's not like Batman style brooding where he's just like, yeah, fuck the world. I'm going to bash in skulls because my parents are dead. Right. It's like, oh, my parents are dead. I hate Iron Fist. Wow.
So bad. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. I will.
Right. All right, so let's transition this into video games.
Oh,
you want to do that, right? Food?
No. We'll get to that later. We've got plenty of time. But while we're on the subject of superhero series, what about superhero games? Are there any Marvel or DC or whatever games that you guys have played ever that you like? What are your top ones?
My personal favorite at one point was just Spider-Man. Just the Spider-Man series were so fun.
Which one?
I played the one on the PlayStation 2, I think, is the one that I played.
Was that Spider-Man 2? Spider-Man 2 was amazing.
I think that was it.
Throughout the city.
I played that one, and I also played Saints Row. I don't know if you ever played Saints Row, the fourth one. It wasn't a Marvel DC one, but you were a superhero, and like you jump around the city. It was the same city as Saints Row 3, but it kind of gave a different experience. And in that one, you had the ability like super jump, super speed, or flying. Eventually, you can get all of them because you know you just could become overpowered. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. But in those ones, in that one in particular, it just didn't feel as fun. You didn't feel as much as a part of the city as when you were just web slinging. I don't know if it was like you actually interacting with the environment, whereas if you're flying, you're just trying to avoid the environment, so it's not like pulling you into what's around you. With Spider-Man, you're really exploring, just, you know, you're really like making contact with things and dealing with things. So I'm so excited for the new one.
I was gonna ask if you'd seen anything on that new one because it looked really good. They showed it.
It does look really good.
I'll definitely be picking up as soon as it launches. I'm so excited for it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was actually there was this old Spider-Man game on, I think it was Sega Genesis, that I played a lot of, but I can't remember exactly if it was just Spider-Man or if it was Spider-Man something or another. It was like an action platformer, I guess. It was a side scroller beat 'em up kind of thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like the Power Rangers one?
I have it. It's over there. It's on my shelf.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a great game because it had a ton of different Spider-Man villains in it, and it actually felt like you were Spider-Man.
That's awesome. Yeah.
There were some control issues with it, but it was actually a really good game. The thing about Spider-Man 2, though, with the web-slinging is I think that feels better than a game like Saints Row the Fourth. In Saints Row 4, it had a myriad of issues I'm not going to delve into.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We will later if we ever stream it. but Spider-Man 2 made you feel like Spider-Man because you would be web-slinging throughout the city and it was great. And then you'd hit like a patch of suburbs, or you'd hit an area where there's a bridge and you'd be like, holy fuck, I can't get away. My mode of transportation now no longer works because there's no big buildings around me. I've really got to be on my guard, or I've got to be careful and not, dive into this area. Mm-hmm. It made you think like the superhero, which is really, it's a novel concept.
You know, if you want to get your fix for Spider-Man 2, like the old Spider-Man 2 game, there's a mobile version that's really good, and it has the same feeling. Yeah, it's really good. You're like, oh, mobile. Are we talking about mobile games now? Yeah. Seriously, it's actually good. It has everything you need as far as like a jump in and go Spider-Man mobile game. It's awesome.
Interesting.
And I have no idea about that. Right. Yeah, it's good. It's one of those ones that you'd see like, Spider-Man mobile game. Yeah. You just keep going,
pretty much. Yeah.
So, but
any mobile game, I'm generally just like, I don't.
Pretty skeptical.
It's not worth the phone battery. It's going to kill.
The Spider-Man mobile game was a blast. Nice. It feels a lot like the PlayStation 2 version. It was good. It was really good. In that same vein, a lot of the PS2 ports that have come over to mobile are actually really good. Like Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, and all those ones.
Mm-hmm. That is really good.
They ported it very nicely.
As long as you've got a controller to play it with, because playing on the touchscreen is not very good.
No way. I still need to figure out how to do that. I have never connected a controller. Tom, we're going to sit down one of these days, and we're going to...
Well, you can go to youtube.com/72pin connector and pick up one of these 8-bit Dell NES 30 Pro gamepads that we have a review video up there for. They're not paying us. I'm just really happy with this controller. And then for another $10, you can get this cool thing that you hook to the controller and snap into your phone.
Oh, I have
on the go mobile gaming.
I have. Nice. Where is that? I have something. I have something that's along the same vein. It should be right here.
Can't you use a PS4 controller?
This thing.
Yeah, any Bluetooth controller.
So I have this thing. And this is for the PlayStation 2 controllers. It has like a little PlayStation hole and like start select, and then you just clip those in and it holds it, and then it has like a nice little expandable thing. It's great.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But I don't know how to connect the PS4 or PS2 controller to it. I have no idea.
Oh, I will walk you through.
It I would love to do that because there's this thing called Moonbeam? Moonbeam? Moon something? And you can...
Moonlight.
Moonlight, that's the one. Thank you. Moonlight.
I don't like Moonlight, but that's an aside.
Okay, well, Moonlight lets me... says that can stream my games from my my PC directly to my phone. I'd like to see how that works.
That is the promise, indeed.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing I'm not going to. I'm not going to get my hopes up. Never mind.
No, try it out on my laptop. The decoding didn't work well enough. Like I got major frame drops. I am going to bring up a piece of news later that I forgot to write down, specifically about game streaming. So I'd stay away from Moonlight and use this other thing.
Well,
we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I guess we could talk about it now.
Might as well. Yeah. I mean,
we're on the subject.
I got to say though, the best superhero game of all time is Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, hands down. It was great.
I never actually played through it.
It's really good.
Oh, yeah, it's excellent.
It's definitely worth the
best
time.
Batman game I've ever played. And nice. Really, just like even if you take away like all the franchise rights and everything else and just made it a standard action game, it's fucking good. It's really fucking good. The combat is it's punchy. It's not heavy, but it feels heavy. Like every hit. Right. Really exactly. Feels like it connects. The nice. The environment interacts with the combat system. So when you're near a rail, like Batman will grab someone's face and like smash it into a rail.
Right.
Batman will never kill someone, but he will paralyze them for life. Like that's just a Batman thing.
That's fine. That's okay. As long as no one dies, it's cool. Asylum I liked better than Knight. Was Night the one after that, right? That was the sequel immediately after?
Asylum, Asylum, and then City, and then Night.
Okay, so City I played. I didn't like City very much. I didn't play Night.
I thought it was okay.
I don't know. Asylum, maybe it was just because it was too much. Like, I've been falling out of really open world games. Like, the more open world the game gets, the less I care. And I think it's just because I have ADD or something. Like, they're like, go there now, hurry. And I'm like, I'll go over here, over there, because it's cooler. You know, then I end up not completing anything, and then I turn it off.
Yeah, I really appreciate a good linear game. And I know that some people get there's a little bit of animosity at linear story games or action games or whatever sometimes. But I really like just this is what happens in this order, and you go through it once and then you're done and you've experienced everything.
Right.
Yeah, I've talked to people before, and they say, hey, I'm not going to buy this game because it's not an open world. I can't choose my path. I have this one thing to go down, and if I don't like the experience halfway through, I've got to stick with it, and that's shitty. And I said, but you can. The developer can way, way more easily curate a front to back total experience, total package, right here, instead of saying, well, you can do anything, except most of those things are really boring and have no impact because it all has to flow together.
There's a usual format for those too. So like for a big open world that like is just kind of dry for me, there's usually like you have a section of the game that you're enjoying and you've explored it, and then around the end of the game, everything gets destroyed, and then you have to deal with this chaos situation at the end. That's super cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And that's how you make a giant open world that you've been exploring for 100 hours unique and new, right? But it's not. It's not the same thing. When you go through something, that's really linear, you can ramp things up and you can calm things down and you can ramp things up. You can show something pretty. You can put yourself in like a little hole in the wall and kind of navigate through like catacombs. There's a whole guide, and you can really hit the rhythm and the pacing of the game. When you go in and you're yourself, you have no concept of pacing. You're not doing any of that. You're just existing. You're a farmer. You know, you're just like farming, but it's Skyrim and there's dragons, but I'd rather, wander around and be a farmer. So I'm just going to be a farmer. And then you get bored. You're like, wow, Skyrim sucks. It's a farming simulator.
I think open world games either need a really open narrative or a really, really diligent developer. So, just like Skyrim, everyone's like, oh my God, the world's going to end. You have to do A, B, and C right now. And there's going to be a war unless you fix it. And you're like, well, yeah, but I need 50 cheese wheels. I need 50 cheese wheels in my house. So I'm going to go over here, and there's no bearing on it.
Right. No problem. Like, none of that will happen until I talk to you again. So,
well, exactly. They tried to do that. Now, what you're saying is they tried to do the inverse of that with what was that? The zombie one. Frank West. Frank West zombie movie or zombie game.
I know what you're talking about. It's not Dead Island. That's something different. It's
Dead Rising? Dead Rising. I'm good.
Dead Rising. That's the one.
Dead Rising has that sense of urgency, right? There's a time limit for the game. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get through it. It's totally open world and you can wander around killing things. But if you don't do certain things at a certain time, people will just die. You're like, oh, X died. You're like, oh, I was busy just like driving my little tricycle around. Well, X is dead, and now that's not a part of the story anymore. So it works.
Yeah.
But that's,
I like that, but it actually prevented me from playing the game.
Yes.
Because every time I would turn it on, I had this like sense of urgency, like, holy shit, I can't fuck around in this world because I have to go do A, B, and C, which it's okay. I get that. But for a certain style of gamer, it will put them off.
But isn't that interesting? Like, that's really crazy that's the same thing I did. I had a save and I would just go run around. Everyone would die. And then, it's fine. And then I just load and then try to play the actual story mode. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have a game that revolves around urgency. You have to do a completely different style of game. And I'm one to think that a modular style of game is the appropriate route. you know,
I really appreciate what Breath of the Wild did with their world, because they said, hey, you know, like 5 minutes into the game, you get your objective for the game, which is, hey, go defeat Ganon, right? Go march through that castle and kick his ass. But don't, and even the dude says, he said, but you're really in no shape to do that. Look, you've got no equipment. You're in your underwear. You've got 3 hearts. For fuck's sake, go beef up, get some gains, get some equipment, and then go kill Ganon. So the whole adventure is you trying to get better and bulkier and get your equipment ready and, you know, prep yourself. It's basically like an 80s hero montage right in the middle of the movie. That's the entirety of Breath of the Wild up until the big fight at the end. And I think that it keeps the urgency, because you do have to eventually defeat Ganon, but everything you do is in pursuit of that goal. So if you wanted to fuck around and find chickens for some guy, that's okay, because he's going to give you something for it, right?
Right. Yeah. I wonder if you can do that same concept, you know, almost like, okay, so what if you could do the same exact concept in a smaller form? Like, you had a certain area that, you know, Grand Theft Auto did this. We have a certain area you can't progress to unless you achieve a certain spot in the story. You know, and then something totally unrelated is cleared up and you can pass. For instance, like in Grand Theft Auto, you know, you got through a certain, like, hey, the bridge is out. We don't know what's going on. And then it would occur on the radio.
There's a hurricane. There's a hurricane. You can't use the bridge.
Right.
It was always really janky. It was very Deus Ex Machina, the way they did this. Oh, hey, the hurricane blew over. It's cool now.
Right. You know what? That's kind of okay. In a way, you know, if you did something with a little bit more thought into it, like, you're like, okay, well, we need to get through this, but, you know, like, okay, well, we're building the bridge right now. You can't get through here because we're building, or we're boring a tunnel, or, you know, or building the boat, you know, like, what's happening? This is what's happening. And, you know, just go, you know, cause I can't, you know, and you're like, I want to go. I want to progress the story. Like, well, you can't. You know, we still have to build this boat, and there's no time limit for the boat. It's just you have to achieve X, Y, and Z, like a sitcom. Yeah. You know, it's almost sitcom-y. Like, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and everything goes back to normal, and I move forward.
There's also speaking specifically of Grand Theft Auto, though, right? You find a boat early, or you get a car or a motorcycle, and you do like a crazy jump, and you do get across that bridge way before you're supposed to. And you'll instantly get 5-starred or 4-starred or whatever, and they'll try to kill you. And you look over there, right? You're like, oh, wait, this place is fully built. It's fully functional. It's just the cops hate me now. It's kind of like it pulls you out of the experience and says, hey, fucker, this is a video game now.
But I don't think Grand Theft Auto is ever supposed to be an immersive experience,
though. Right? It's not the perfect example, but the method.
I'm using the example of a game that when you get headshots on people, their heads disappear and blood spurts out in a cartoonish style.
Right.
Like, you're exactly right. It is not a simulator.
So if you did something like, let's say you had a mini boss that's like guarding the door, right? And you have to kill that mini boss, but he has a particular weakness that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you have to navigate the world, traverse the area that you're in, and people, and you meet people, and you do help things, you know, help people with things, and then they say, "Oh yeah, you know, I know all about that. This is how you do it." And then you have to go get the item, and you go defeat the boss, like a key situation. You have a room, you have a door, you have a key. You have a room, you have a door, you have a key. You have a room, you have a door, you have a key, and you can handle that in a different way all the way through. And then by the time you get to the end, you're strong enough to take on the main boss. But that way you could properly guide the story. You can ramp the environments up, and so you can be bright and sunny in the starting world, and you can be dark and ominous in the final world, but it's still all open world.
Yeah.
It's as long as you give the players the ability to circumvent that if they're willing to put up with a lot of bullshit. So you're climbing like a volcano in Zelda, right? And you're catching fire and you are literally burning alive if you don't have the right stuff to do this.
Right.
You can just carry like 700 apples, which will fill up half a heart each. And you can just like burn up until like 2 hearts and then just shove as many apples into Link as he will fit. And then keep going through the game. And every couple, you know, every 30 seconds you just chug 10 more apples or whatever. You can do that. And I wouldn't call it a valid strategy, but it would work.
That's a speed run strategy right there.
Right. I mean, you could
What
can you get away with to get through this game?
Well, it would be interesting, especially if you scale the areas, like you scale the villains in the areas, and they're like, you're like, okay, we expect people to be about this level, and you get to the very end area. Mm-hmm. So like you could do like some kind of epic jump while you fly through the sky and eat 10 apples, and then when you land at the final area, you know, you have no more apples, but you have no health, and you're severely underleveled, and then you can try to beat the final boss. You know, I guess you could do something like that, but I don't know. It's a crazy concept. I'd like to see what developers do in the long run, as far as
how did the Witcher series do this? Because the Witcher series is an open world game, and it's very much story heavy, and it got very good critical acclaim. And how did
I wish I could speak for The Witcher 3. I am still struggling to get through the first game, which is not an open world at all. It is very much a linear RPG where there are triggers and quests and set pieces, and you will finish, you know, your checklist, and then a cutscene will happen. You will move on to the next area.
A lot of people now actually skipped the first game because they didn't like it.
It's kind of a drag. It plays like an MMO for single player, which is not a good thing.
I've actually got The Witcher 2, and I think I played a little bit of it, but I never really got that far.
Well, also it's hard as shit.
Yeah.
So the issue with The Witcher 2 was they assume that players going into it have played The Witcher 1. And in The Witcher 1, you know, you start out with nothing, and then they're like, oh, here's a sword, and here's a different sword that does different stuff, and here's when you use this one, here's when you use that one. Oh, well, hey, here's this magic thing, and here's some enemies that you can use this magic thing with. And they slowly introduce all these things. In The Witcher 2, you start the game, it's like, hey, here's 17 items, 47 spells, and by the way, here's a literal novel of lore for you to catch up on so you understand what people are saying. Go have fun. By the way, the enemies are as hard as they were at the end game of the first. So,
but the good combat luck. Hope you're using the right sword. That's the thing.
Yeah. So I started The Witcher 2. I'm like, what the fuck is this stuff? What is going on? Right. What are these spells? I don't know what to do in this game. And it's hard as shit unless you go through and read the novella.
Right.
I mean, The Witcher 3 gets rid of that problem, but
right. I mean, I remember my wife played through The Witcher 2, and I think she was doing a mission she couldn't figure out, and apparently what you had to do is you had to go to one town and read a book, or you had to go one town, talk to someone, and they instruct you to read a certain book, and then you go somewhere else, which has a library where you have a book, and you read the book, and it tells you how to beat the guy. So it's a RPG to the nth degree. You know, there's no character knowledge, you know, it's just player knowledge.
Honestly, probably why I stopped playing Witcher 2, because I just don't have the patience and the attention span for a big RPG. It is
very, very fetch questy. I'm pretty sure they took a look at EverQuest and they said, oh, wait, you can make quests based on killing an arbitrary number of arbitrary creatures. Let's fill the game with it.
I don't know how much of that's optional, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to play The Witcher 3, much. Though.
Oh, yeah. I hear 3 got rid of all of these issues, and it's just a masterpiece of the art form. And I don't want to rag on The Witcher too much. I think it's a good game. I hope to finish it one day. It's just, it has not aged well at all.
That's fair. Not all games can age gracefully.
So, I want to talk about food.
Okay.
Did you guys eat anything interesting? Because I've got a story, but I need to get your guys' stuff out of the way before I launch into my tirade.
Well, I found a really good hot sauce I've been using called Walker's Wood Scotch Bonnet Hot Sauce. It's like a Jamaican-style Scotch Bonnet sauce. It's really tasty. Nice. I actually got some wings. Didn't order sauce on them or anything, just got naked wings, and then, you know, I took them home and spun them in the sauce, and it was really good.
Nice.
It's pretty hot, but it's not like kill yourself hot. and it's got a great flavor. So ever since I started watching that Hot Ones YouTube channel, are you guys familiar with that at all?
No, I haven't checked
it out. I don't know if I've talked about it much. It's basically they have a celebrity on every week and they eat progressively hotter wings. And with each wing.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they get like, they get into the really, really hot, like novelty hot sauces. Nobody buys this stuff to put on.
Oh, wait.
You know, pizza or whatever.
I'm thinking of something.
By the end of it, they're struggling to get through the wings. You know, it kind of takes them out of their element. And then he's hitting them hard with these questions and stuff. It's really good. It's a great channel to watch.
I was thinking of the one where they eat the pepper and try to give a video game review.
Oh, no, that's a good concept though.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good guests on this show. I mean, they've had like Steve-O, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh wow!
You know, football players, Kevin Hart, people like that, comedians. They had Action Bronson. Trying to think who else they had on there that was like a big name.
What do we got to do to get Neil deGrasse Tyson to talk about video games on this show?
a lot. Let's just
I don't know if there's anything we can do, but we can certainly try.
Just send them emails every month.
We are now focused exclusively on playing games that are only astrophysics accurate.
Okay, sounds good.
So we're gonna turn this into a Kerbal only podcast and talk to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Podcast listeners, if you can get us a hookup, that'd be great. We'll send you a t-shirt or something. I'm making promises we can't fulfill.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could do the shirt thing. I have two extra smalls.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah. If anyone wants an extra small, you know, just hit us up.
Nice.
Gotcha.
So let's get this food thing out of the way.
All right. You go first, Tom. I'll get to this. You go, Tom.
Yeah. So I picked up a meal in the box. We're like, hey, we did all the prep for you. Go make this food. I'm like, oh, this is great. And I was going to pick up one and they were out of stock. So I picked up a different one. It was like sesame encrusted cod with a miso sauce or something.
Mm. Okay.
And I was like, huh, okay, this sounds weird. It's Asian-y. It's fish. Let's try it. It's got rice in it and not broccoli, broccolini.
Oh, nice. We're going up there.
We're talking like hipster as fuck, which basically means broccoli that looks a little weird. So, yeah, we got this thing and I take it home and I can't cook. I don't know anything about cooking. Like, I can make a pot roast and I can make rice in the Instant Pot and that's about it.
Nice.
Those are my levels. I have cooked spaghetti successfully a few times.
Nice. Well done.
So we're cooking this stuff and mostly my wife is cooking this stuff and we get it together and it actually during the fish prep, there's fucking bones and shit in the fish. Like, it's fresh fish. We have to debone the shit.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it was supposed to have bones in it, but we had to like squish the fish and try to find all the little fragments of shit. It was not a great experience. So we cook this thing. We put it in the bowl and it looks hipstery as fuck. It actually looks good and looks way more fancy than anything I would ever voluntarily eat. We take a bite. It's not bad. It's not good. It is honestly the most meh food I have ever had in my life. Like, I have been to fast food restaurants where I have had more of a reaction than eating this super fancy stuff. The flavors were bland or non-existent in most cases. We fried the broccoli in butter and garlic and it just tasted bland. There was nothing to
crazy.
The only flavor came from the miso sauce, which wasn't any good. If they did double the amount of sauce but did like a lemon butter sauce, it would have been amazing. But it just so we ordered Frankie's Pizza, which is great pizza. It's amazing. It's the kind of pizza where they, in the box, they've got like a sheet of wax paper on the bottom to catch all the grease.
Oh, dang, wow.
That's a fancy
it's
pizza.
It's so good. It is so good. It was kind of pricey, but I got a mizza, which it's like, you know how you usually have cheese and then stuff on top of the cheese? There's so much cheese that the toppings are embedded inside of the block of cheese that has sat on top of the dough.
Oh, my God.
Nice. It was kind ridiculous.
It's kind of Chicago deep dish style.
It was so good. So yeah, Frankie's Pizza. Yeah,
I'm way better than miso up. fish broccoli stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with another sauce, it would have been good. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not tempted to try that again.
Well, I got something for our food connector. I figured out how Thai coffee works.
Thai coffee.
Right. Okay. So this is how it went down. So me and my coworker went to lunch and we're like, okay, we went to get Thai. It's fantastic. So we got this thing, right? And we said, okay, we want Thai coffee. Let's get that. And they put it. No, it was Vietnamese coffee. It's different.
Oh.
See? So Vietnamese coffee, you get, it's a slow drip, right? So you have your glass and then you have a thing that goes on top and then you have a little thing where the coffee grounds sit. And then they pour water on the top and coffee comes at the bottom, right? And it goes right down on top of condensed milk, which is great, right? Just that concept. But we knew there was more to it because it wasn't working. So we're sitting there and the lady brings it out. We've never had it before. He says, and we say, hey, how does this coffee work? You know, how does it, you know, how do we do it? And she says, yeah, and walks away. And we're like,
all right.
We're like, oh shit. Okay, so we're not gonna know how. Okay, we're just gonna wait. We're just gonna wait. And when the guy comes with the food, you know, we're looking at it, where it's dripping a little bit. Like, I think that's how it works. So let's just let it do its thing. And when the guy comes back, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll ask him, right? Uh-huh. Guy comes up, sets our food down. We're like, oh hey, you know, thank you for our food. How does the coffee work? And he's like. Just walks away. And we're like, okay, so 0-2. We're going to find out how this works. Some random lady comes over and she says, what food is that? And we're like, oh, you know, because she came out like kind of urgent. So we're like, oh, she must, you know, that must be from the person, you know, what, like the manager came out. So like, oh, what, you know, what food did you get? And we tell her the food we got. And we're like, oh, yeah, how does the coffee work, by the way? And she's like, oh, I don't work here. And just walked away. So we're not getting how this coffee works. We can't figure this out. It's dripping extremely slow. And like at this point we're like kind of fiddling with the thing on the top. And then I finally, like, as we're leaving it, we still hadn't even drank the coffee yet, because it's at this point it's this much condensed milk to this much coffee and we don't think that's the proper ratio, right?
Probably not.
So like, okay, I'm gonna pay for the food and I'm gonna ask the lady at the front how the coffee works. This is their main point of contact. This is the face of their group. And like, let's go talk to her. And I go up there and I pay for it. I'm like, okay, great, so how does this coffee work? You know, is it just like letting it drip thing? I'm not, you know, we're not getting it. And she nods at me. She's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, you know, $24.95. And I'm like, wait, like, there's a whole like coffee experience that no one is understanding, that we don't know the concept of it. We don't get it.
Oh.
And wow. There's not a lot of translation happening, I think. Not a lot of understanding. So we ended up just getting, it was like half and half by the time we left, and we just stirred it up and had this like really, really, really strong, really sweet coffee.
Nice.
wasn't great.
Oh god.
We later did find out how the coffee worked in our own within our own research. And the reason it wasn't working right. So it has the thing on the top is a little bowl. And there's a thread, and you screw the thread down, and it pushes, it presses the coffee down and makes it drip out faster, right? And then you pour hot coffee on the top, presses it down, it's hot. Our coffee at the end was cold because there's actually a lid that was supposed to come with it that keeps all the heat in. There's another variant that actually has a weight, and then you set it on and the weight pushes it down, and it's the same experience except not as popular. What they gave us was the cup for one that has the weight in the top of the one that threaded and no lid.
Oh. So wow. You just got fucked.
Yeah.
Then they refused to explain how it all worked.
Yeah. Like, how does the copy work? Like, I don't know. Just fucking figure it out.
We're not going back there again. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're going back there. It's delicious. Okay. That food is amazing. Okay. And we know how the copy works now, so there's nothing stopping us.
There you go.
So yeah, that was my food story.
Nice.
That's lovely.
Well, I guess we can talk about some games, seeing as we're like really far into this and we've mentioned a few video games.
We talked about some concepts of open world games and stuff. So you could give us some credit.
We talked
about Batman.
Yeah, and Spider-Man and a few others, Witcher. We're good at this. Let's carry on.
So Adam, did you play any video games this week? Preferably related to food?
Nothing related to food. I'm sorry. No. But I did play a bad experience of a game. Called Supra Ball.
Yes.
Which we played last weekend. Right, yeah. Let's get this out of the way because this was frustrating.
It really was.
We played Supra Ball, which was our postcast community game last weekend.
Right.
Which we played for 20 or 30 minutes and then promptly switched to Rocket League as our as our plan B postcast community game. Bowl was, it looked like it had so much potential. It looked like it could be good. And then I install the thing and I go to run it and it brings up a small windowed menu with a lot of mismatched looking buttons. And I couldn't figure out how it worked at first. And then I had to go through this training thing. And then we tried to set up some matches together and we couldn't figure out how to do so. It was just a mess.
The interface was very programmer art.
It was the worst main menu I've ever seen in any game.
Absolutely.
Like, hands down. The worst.
I think we must have been missing something, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It says it has good reviews. We all were there. Everyone in the lobby tried to do this thing, which was get us all into one lobby.
Yeah.
We finally pulled it off, but I think we did it wrong still. There's nothing about that experience that was smooth.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be kind of like soccer, except you're running around and you can catch and throw the ball, and it had so much promise. It seems like a fun game. The trailer looked okay. It had good reviews on Steam, and then we tried to play and it just, not even just the main menu and trying to get the game started, but even once we started playing, it just wasn't very fun. It just didn't feel good.
No.
I think the main problem I had with it personally is it just, you know, when you had the ball, there's literally a button to pass to your teammate and it sends it exactly directly to that teammate.
Right.
And I just don't understand. In a game like that, I think it needs to be completely, completely manual. You know, you need to aim where you need to throw it and then you need to hit the throw button. And then I think it would balance out the gameplay more. But yeah, I didn't have fun with that game at all.
No.
There was a lot going on in Supra Ball. There was so many concepts that were thrown in that looked like, oh, wow, this will be a good idea. Let me do this thing. Like, they started with the idea of first-person soccer with a gun. Okay, all right, I get that. That's all right. And then they moved to, well, now you can attack people and knock them out for, you know, 7 to 10 seconds at a time, which was a shitty experience for everyone. And then they're like, oh, wait, double jumping sucks. Let's make, like, a quintuple jump so you can, like, keep jumping over and over and over again, but you never need to ever. I don't even. Then there were multiple stages. There were multiple game modes. Nothing in this game made sense. It looks like, I don't want to like disparage the developer too much. It is a free to play game. It looks like somebody's first game, but it needs a lot of work.
I think it's one of those things that it was good. Good try, but if they redid it, like they started over from scratch and just did the exact same thing over again and just, you know, fine-tune things and rip things out, like made a Supra Ball 2,
I feel it might be pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
It's got potential. But yeah, Super Bowl, I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe there's like this hardcore following of like six people who are just insanely good at it and they actually took the time to really learn all the mechanics and figure it out. Maybe it's better once you kind of know all that stuff, but just going into it as like, hey, let's all play this game we've never played before. It should be fun. Well, it's not fun. So,
right.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it.
I think it's the first community game where it's completely fallen flat. Mm-hmm. Like everyone after 20 minutes was like, we've given this a try. It sucks.
Right.
Let's go play Rocket League.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it went down. Well, I mean, it was so close to that. It was so close to that concept. Like, oh, we're going to play soccer. Well, there's a really good soccer game that we all play all the time anyway. Why don't we just all play that soccer game?
Let's just switch to that one. Yeah. It's way better. It's way better. It's like, oh, yeah, this McDonald's hamburger. Why don't we just get like a Five Guys hamburger,
right? Or I can make hamburgers.
Yeah,
hamburgers are fine.
At least when you go to McDonald's, though, right, you ask for a hamburger and they know what that means. Yeah. In the Super Bowl version of McDonald's,
they like throw hamburger. Lettuce at your car and
you mean one of the meat sandwiches? The meat sandwiches add cheese? Yeah, I gotcha. All right, here's we need some cow bread with dairy. Cow bread with dairy coming up.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, that's wasn't good. Other than that, I played a little bit more of that ballistic game, which I did a Lost and Found video for. But not to be confused with the ballistic game that Tom did the Lost and Found video for. I've already made that mistake by installing the wrong game when I was going to do my Lost and Found episode. This is not the stick figure, poorly controlled whatever game. This is the shiny ball of death to 80s retrowave music, physics-based difficult game. if anybody watched me play this during the Lost and Found episode, you probably got bored at watching me try to finish that first level for 30 minutes. Oh, not exaggerating. It took me 30 minutes. I think it was like 32 minutes to get through that level because the controls are so... It's such a hardcore physics-based game. I mean, there's just... You have to learn the physics and get good, but it's just got so much charm to it. You've got this first off, it looks beautiful. Unreal Engine, lots of shiny surfaces, high fidelity. There's lens flare and lots of just shiny things. It's a good looking game. It's a good sounding game. Soundtrack is incredible. I said that a million times as we were playing through it. That's to be said. If you plan on uploading a video of this to YouTube, you're not going to get any ad revenue, though, because it's licensed music in the game and YouTube's algorithms don't like that.
That's a bit crazy. That's it's just this whole concept of, well, we're in like kind of a different time, right? Like now content creators are playing games and showcasing these games. And that's just a giant turnoff. I think as a developer of a very small indie game, you tend to avoid that, but
right.
I guess maybe they could have, but they didn't know. I don't know.
I get it, and it's not the developer's fault. I don't think there's anything they could do. So what they did is they said, hey, we really like these songs. We're not going to compose our own music. We're not going to hire someone to compose our own music. We think these songs fit really well, and we would like to pay a license to the people who own this media to put it in our game. That happens all the time. That's how we've gotten some of the greatest gaming soundtracks alive, right? Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. Just about every single Grand Theft Auto game out there. The soundtracks are sometimes more popular than the games themselves. Right. That was the case with Vice City, right? But what happens is, you know, we threw this video on YouTube, and then this song-matching company said, hey, your shit matches this thing. It matches these six songs, so we're not going to take it down. We're just going to take all your ad revenue, which for 72-pin connector, they can have whatever part of the 11 cents that we've made. That doesn't really bug me that much. But if we're a really big channel, the only thing we're guilty of is playing a game with licensed music, right? That's we're not taking these songs and posting them wholesale as videos on our YouTube channel and be like, oh yeah,
right,
we added some lyrics with Windows Movie Maker. No, we're not doing that stupid shit. we played a game where the guy licensed the music. So I'm sure I can go and tell YouTube to fuck off and go through a process of appealing a DMCA thing, but it's, I don't know. The whole thing's annoying. And I really think this is going to happen more and more as we get more and more gaming videos up there.
Well, I mean, just the whole licensing music in general is it's a nightmare. I mean, they're even going as far as taking music out of already existing digital copies of the game. So you can't, like, if you're playing a game, like let's say you had Tony Hawk Pro Skater and you really like that song, and you're like, where's that song? It's not in there anymore, because they go in, that license ran out. They'll go in, update the game, remove songs, and now you can no longer play that version of the game with
and
that song.
That's not even the worst case scenario, right?
Yeah, the
worst
or that take the game off of Steam.
Right. Yeah, it's something like Alan Wake, where they said, hey, we ran out of the license. Also, we're not going to pay anyone to update this, so we're just going to take it off of Steam. Like, that's really shitty. Now, and no one's going to clamor because Alan Wake sucks, but what if it's a good game, right? What if, like, your disc of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 on your PlayStation just vanished, or it updated and all the songs went away?
Like, right, it's now just really now it's just like birds chirping the whole time. Yeah. It's just like
perfect.
Like,
that's really fucking shitty.
Just like a long drum beat.
And by the way, people have copyright struck just birds chirping in the background before, because there are sound effect packs that you can buy of birds chirping, and it matches some real world birds in Trip's content ID.
Yeah.
So
that sucks.
I wish this shit would get fixed.
Yeah. But the game is good. Ballistic. It was a good game. I played another, I think, two levels the other day. A lot of fun. It's actually really good. Other than that, some Rocket League is normal. And I played some of Cosmonaut, the game that we've been working on, or I've been helping work on with the soundtrack and stuff. So I got a bunch of new sounds for that done. A couple weeks ago, he implemented them into the game, sent me a test build, so I was kind of, you know, going through that and seeing all the new shiny things that were added and all that good stuff.
That's awesome.
And that pretty much wraps it up for me. That's all I've been playing this week. Tom?
My list is a little short, because I have spent my entire week watching Marvel stuff on Netflix instead of playing video games, because I'm a bad podcast host. But excuse me. I've been sneezing all night. I have been playing just about every day on the bus to and from work, Breath of the Wild. So I finally said, all right, I'm going to start doing some DLC quests. And I've avoided in Breath of the Wild, except for one little area, I've avoided looking up anything online because you get like a vague hint in the whole game is I'm going to go on an adventure. You are Bilbo Baggins and you're setting forth. So I've been trying to find all of the DLC masks in headgear. And I found one of them so far. The other one, the one that I really, really, really want, I cannot find. I know I'm looking in the right place, but it's just not there. So I need to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Other than that, Doom 2016. Played a lot of that. It's just great. I love Doom. It's wonderful. Nice. I tried to play it on my phone, which didn't work, but I'll go into that here in a little bit later. yes, I did say that. I was trying to play Doom 2016, not old Doom, on my phone. I played a little bit of Guild Wars 2 today, which is a cool chill out MMO. It's free. Go make an account and pull it. The way they make money is an in-game cash shop where you can get like cosmetic shit or by buying the expansion packs. I do recommend Guild Wars 2. I think it's great. Other than that, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the old Castlevania game on the PlayStation, possibly the best Castlevania game ever made. I was feeling the hankering, and it's great. The music is great. The graphics are outstanding. I keep forgetting how awesome that game is. I'm gonna have to stream it sometime.
Nice.
But yeah, that's about all I had. Josh, you've been playing a lot of weird shit, and you had Lost and Found this week.
I typically play weird shit. I don't know what it's been like. Normally I play, okay, I don't typically play weird shit. I'll retract that instantly. I normally play normal shit, and I play the same things. I'm a very monogamous gamer for the most part. But this this week has been really strange. So I played Video Ball. Now, Video Ball is really weird. You're like an arrow. It's essentially air hockey, right? Mm-hmm. And you're an arrow, and you shoot the ball back and forth with like your little gun. Right, you can spam the button, or you can hold it, charge it like Mega Man, and you hold it, and it has like three stages where it's, you know, stronger and stronger and stronger, and then if you hold it for a little bit longer, it turns into a little block, so you can start building walls and stuff. It's a really interesting concept because it's up to 4v4, a 4v4 game mode, and it is really interesting, but I don't know if I liked it. It seemed really cheesable. I mean, it seems like one of those. It might be, you know, it might be kind of like the Rocket League concept where you first get in, you see it, you're like, oh, everyone's just kind of hitting the ball back and forth. And then there's all these like crazy metas that emerge. Like, oh, okay, well, really, you should be holding a block in front of you at all time and drop it when, you know, you're ready to block it or something or something's in there. It seems like there's a lot to be had, but. I don't know. Maybe the goals are too close.
It does sound really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It's really cool mechanically. I just it seems like once it plays more like actual like soccer because the ball ends up moving so fast that if someone's not back, there's nothing you can do. It just kind of slowly makes its way into the net. I guess you can call it the goal, and it so. It's one of those things I think maybe is a steep learning curve. You may be going into it with even just the bots will destroy you. So I feel like it's something along those lines. But it's a good community game like with your friends. The other one that I played that's also a good community game is called That's You, and That's You is a lot like the Jackbox games, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone uses their phone, things happening on the screen, but the production value for it seems way better.
Oh, really?
So there's a whole application that you have to download, which I think is a little unfortunate. So you have to download the application and then you sync it to your Wi-Fi so you don't get to connect if you are over a stream. You can't really stream it and have viewers join in. It's not really an option. It's very couch co-op-y. So it connects through your Wi-Fi if your PlayStation is also attached to that home network. And that's how that functions, which is kind of a cool way of doing it, right? The only trouble is it's a really long game. So the premise of it is, you know, you all take a picture of your face and then you do like a, it's kind of like a truth or dare with just the truth portion, right? Mm-hmm. And then everyone judges like, oh, who would be the most likely to do X, Y, or Z? So it's like a reverse truth or dare, if that makes sense. It's like, who's the most likely, who's the most likely to, you know, end up getting lost in the woods? And then everyone would vote. And then whoever voted the same gets points. So if you vote for if these two people vote for the same guy and these two people vote for the same guy, those two teams get points. And then at some point it transitions to where it takes your picture and it puts your picture on the screen and it says like, and it just asks questions about that person. Like, well, you know, what would he most likely do in this situation? And it does that and you go through and there's like 10 rounds and there's like five questions each. So it ends up taking forever.
Oh.
And
so it's not like Jackbox where they're pretty quick and you can be out of a match in 15 minutes.
I think that's the worst portion of this. I couldn't find any options to shorten it, but the production value is really good. The assets, like you're like in, everything's kind of like specific to like an area. So like you'll be, they'll be like a camping thing and everything's centered around like camping. Like, oh, who would get lost in the woods? Who would do this? Who would do that? It all revolves around camping. And the backdrop is like this really pretty tent and there's like things in the woods. You see Bigfoot walking around and there's all this like all these little things and knickknacks on the ground, like, you know, a pan or you know, maybe like some soup or something like that, like a very camping vibe. And then it'll go to like an underground, like disco club or something, or, you know, underground club where it's like a, you know, like a rock concert's happening and you see all like these like things in the wall and it'd be like a bedroom. There's a school, you know, a school, schoolhouse, and it goes through each thing and all the assets look really great. And it's very, very cool.
Nice.
Except you have this announcer talking and talking and talking and he just won't shut up. He just won't shut up. He's like, he is like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Like when I was in the blah, 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 blah. You're like, oh, dude, like we're busy. Just like tell us what we need to know and go away. But he's, he will not shut up. It was a mess, but it was fun once.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I probably wouldn't go back and do it again. It's just way too involved. But I did play an interesting game, which I actually really liked. I had the Lost and Found, and that was Ninja Pizza Girl. Now, I thought I just kind of purely grabbed this off the title. I'm like, Ninja Pizza Girl, perfect. Let's go.
Done. It marks off the three things I love: Ninja Pizza and girls.
It's flawless. Yes, it was flawless. And I went into it thinking like, okay, this will just be, you know, whatever. I actually thought it was gonna be pretty bad. But it was actually really, really fun. It was it was pretty solid as far as what it was. It's essentially you're delivering pizzas, but you're also a parkour ninja girl, and then you also have this strange like dealing with peer pressure thing, and I'll get into that.
Okay.
So you run along this like this route, and there's all these obstacles in the way, and you could do like wall jumps, you can like grab onto edges and flip over them, and you can it's really speedrunners-y, you know, it feels like speedrunners, but with like a little bit but a little bit more like parkour-y aspects, like there's trampolines and stuff that makes you jump, but you know, you're gonna grapple things and flip over them, and you'll slide underneath things, just like very speedrunners-y, right? But then there's like other guys that try to block your way, and it's weird because they run, like you'll run into them and they'll push you down and they'll start laughing at you, and you don't get affected by them pushing you down. You just get right back up and you start moving. And then they say like, aha, loser, all this crap. And then you start getting sad and then you just collapse. And then you have to spam A to deal with the peer pressure. And then you're like, okay, no, I'm good. And then you just go. And it sounds really stupid, but as far as a mechanic, it worked. It was fine.
I would not have expected a basically speed runny platformer side scroll game to have a stress management mechanic that you have to juggle.
It was weird.
I feel like that's more internal from playing a game that might be difficult, as managing your own stress playing the game, not managing the stress of the character you're playing in the game.
No, it was super weird. I think the concept is really dumb. But I think how it was executed as a mechanic was awesome, because it stopped you long enough for you to worry about the clock, because, you know, you had to get through the thing at a certain time, right, or maintain a certain speed. Those were two kind of aspects that I got to. And you had to get through it, right?
Yeah.
And it was cool because it stopped you. You had to deal with it. And you're like, okay, I'll keep going. So as a mechanic, it was great. As like what it was doing, I don't know if they were serious or not as far as like trying to deal with like such a topic, but it was super fun. It was really fast paced. You had to really it felt like a, you know, again, like a speed runner. Like you had to make sure that you hit all your jumps right. You had to make sure that you were doing everything right, and you had to do it again and again, and just to make the time. And it was good. It was really, really good. And I was really surprised by just like how it played. I'll definitely revisit that one.
Yeah, I saw the beginning of your Lost and Found, but I didn't get to the part where you were managing stress and stuff.
But it looked
better than I expected.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is that it?
That's pretty much it for the week. I mean, I went and played my normal games, but That was pretty much all I went through. Yep, that was my thing.
All right, on to the next segment, Dark Souls.
Yeah, so for the next 6 hours of this podcast, we'll be talking specifically about Dark Souls. And it will actually just be me and Josh from this point, with Adam looking at us really forlorn.
Hey, I played the first one for a couple hours now.
You got good,
right,
sort of.
All right, yeah, no, let's not do this.
All right, we've got some quick news. We've got some longer news. Quick news is Nintendo decided they like money. They are bringing back the NES Classic in 2018.
I'm not surprised.
get your botting scripts ready. Make sure your eBay stores are all up to date with an up to date PayPal account, so you can.
They're making five more.
There's five.
Yep. So, Doom 2016 is coming to the Switch.
Nice.
I guess.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah.
So I'm kind of actually.
It kind of surprises me.
Game.
Oh yeah, that kind of surprises me because Doom is such a
mature game.
I mean, I know that the Switch is a powerful console, but it's not like a powerful console. I wonder if it would run well on the Switch or kill the battery or what.
I may or may not find out. So it goes against my PC gaming master race heart to say that I might buy a first person shooter on a console, but the idea of playing Doom on my ride to work portably, like
kill that stress early.
I might need to get that.
Nice.
I wonder if they're gonna dumb it down. They did that with actually, if you saw any of the video of the new Rocket League version of on the Switch, they actually simplified the way things look by like a lot.
Oh,
that's how they're hitting at 60 FPS. The latest version of that I've seen that's coming out is really simplified as far as the graphics are concerned. I'm really interested to see if they do the same thing but with Doom. We have like more of a low poly build. Should be pretty.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, it wouldn't really be that surprising because right now Doom 2016 on the consoles is, you know, kind of a lower quality than you can push on the PC for pretty obvious reasons. You can push a PC to do crazy things. Consoles have a very, you know, small box, a small defined space of what they're allowed to do with their hardware and what it's possible to do with their hardware. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's also really well optimized on the PC too. So assuming that optimization kind of carries over, then
yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be cool to see it. If you want to get into the Call of Duty World War II beta that happens at the end of September, go Google it or something. I guess I don't care.
I'm going to do that. I'm actually going to do that.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious for another World War II Call of Duty.
Oh, I guess so.
I'm interested. I will be pulling it. Metroid: Samus Returns has released. It's been getting decent reviews so far. So Nintendo likes Metroid again. The end.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yep. Okay. Here are the two big things I want to talk about. First, PewDiePie, a very popular streamer, YouTuber, douchebag guy. use the N-word on stream very flippantly. We don't care. Fuck you. But the interesting story I want to talk about, and kind of something that really affects all streamers and YouTube personalities, if for various reasons, Campo Santo, the developers behind Firewatch, have issued copyright strikes, DMCA strikes against PewDiePie's videos on YouTube. They saw the news, they saw I said the N-word on stream, they saw it's just like, well, I don't know, man, it slipped out. Like, he's being a total douchebag, right? But they said, okay, we're issuing a copyright strike against you doing Let's Plays of Firewatch. So they essentially took down his videos and gave a copyright strike to his account. While I completely agree that PewDiePie is kind of a toolish douchebag, I completely disagree with Campo Santo. Just saying I don't like you and using the Digital Millennium Copyright Act to remove something because you don't like the person behind it, not necessarily the content, If the dude was like, oh, look, I modded the game and now there's a bunch of like naked people in Firewatch. Like, I get that, right? Copyright strike the fuck out of it. Take it down. You fucked with our property and we don't like what you've done with it. But literally, they just took it down because they didn't like the guy.
Yeah,
that's shitty.
It's technically, and I read the articles, it's technically legal. I get that, but I don't think that you should be able to take down somebody's videos just because of reasons like that.
I completely agree. I think if I were PewDiePie right now, which thank God I'm not, but if I were, I would be fighting this copyright strike very, very hard. Being able to flippantly use the DMCA like this should be illegal. Currently, it's not. Currently, Campo Santo, what they have done is 100% legal. You can just fire off a DMCA complaint because you don't like the color of somebody's shirt, right? There really doesn't have to be anything to do to fire off one of these complaints. And with the way YouTube is built and the way YouTube responds to DMCA takedown requests, they don't have to have an internal battle. They don't have to prove anything. You don't have to go in front of a judge or an arbitrator and state your case. YouTube just takes your shit down. And they say, well, you might be able to fight it if you click this button and you know, eventually that could erupt into a legal battle, but whatever. Try to fight it and then we'll review it in a couple weeks. But by that time, you know, you've lost weeks of revenue at the very least. And for a person like PewDiePie that has literally built their life on streaming and on YouTube and on the money they make from this, having your videos being taken down or having your streams being taken down due to bullshit requests is literally taking money out of his pocket. Now, I'm not here to argue whether or not he should have made money in the first place. I never really liked the guy. I thought he was kind of a hack. Apparently now he's also a racist hack. This is really just talking about the principles of the thing.
I don't even have, I don't necessarily have a problem with them not wanting their game associated with somebody that said something they don't agree with. But at the same time, I don't know. It just doesn't sit well for me.
For me,
the fact that they took the videos down or that they wanted to.
For me, it seems like it should be isolated to the video. Like if he's dropping hard R's in the video of their game, okay, pull it. But if he's not and it's just the video, and the video of him playing that is great, fine, clean, everything's great, then that's fine. But he wasn't playing their game.
Yeah.
He was playing a totally different game on a totally different stream. And it's not, and it wasn't even on YouTube. So this situation happened on Twitch among friends on a totally different game. To be able to pull random content for no reason, that's where I have the problem. If you are, you know, if you murdered someone and you talked about murdering people, then okay, maybe. Like, maybe we could talk about, like, okay, this guy's a psychopath. But at the same time,
I don't even think that.
But at the same time, if you're, like, if the video itself of him playing your game has him saying, like, horrible things the whole time, okay, pull those videos. But this is a totally separate thing. It's like if I was walking around in public, you know, and I'm just a shitty person and over here, and you started pulling all my content because you saw me in the subway or something. Like, I feel like that's the same thing in a way.
I could start a new game development company, and you know, it becomes a big thing, and all these YouTubers start making videos with my game, and I say, you know what? I really don't like people that wear glasses. So any streamer that has glasses that plays my game on YouTube, I'm going to file a DMCA claim and get them pulled off YouTube.
Right, and exactly. The fact
that you can actually do that right now, I think that means there's definitely a fault in the system.
And really, I've got to give a decent part of this blame to YouTube, right? Like, the majority of the blame lies with Campo Santo. I get they don't want to be associated with him. If you really feel that strongly about it, go to your corporate blog and just say, this dude's a fucking retard, right? Put out, like, a big post, throw it on Twitter, fuck you guy, you suck, And leave it at that, right? Make your position perfectly known. Donate and put up like a donation page to a charity that you like that supports whatever people a streamer might disparage, and get on with your life. But I have seen the same shit happen. A company will see a review. Konami has fucking done this. They did this to Super Bunny Hop, who's a pretty famous YouTuber. He does a lot of game analysis and in-depth looking at stuff. I am subscribed to his channel. I like the guy. But he did a video on Konami and kind of the shit that was going down when they were starting to close up shop and being pricks to Kojima. So he did an in-depth analysis. They fucking DMCA'd his video. And it took basically an internet uprising, 12 hours to get it put back online. The fact that you can say something that a company doesn't like, and the company with a single DMCA strike can wipe your content off of YouTube, that's a huge problem with their system. The DMCA and content ID systems in YouTube really need to be changed. It's far too easy to go in and say, I don't like this content, I don't like this content, I don't like this content, they're gone. What if Nintendo, when they put out ARMS, said, we're going to get rid of every single bad review on YouTube? And they picked and choose. That is totally legal, right? If you use any of the content of ARMS in your review of ARMS, they could take it off, right? Now, you can argue. It's a defense. It's not a guarantee. You can argue that we're doing this for journalistic reasons. We're doing this as purpose of review. That is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. That will not get your YouTube protected or your video protected by YouTube in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think we checked the box for Tom Rage.
There it is. Yeah, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah. On to happier news. So, Josh, you were talking about Moonlight and trying to get Moonlight up and running, and you can stream, PC games to your phone, and that's kind of cool. But last time I tried Moonlight, I got 10 frames per second. You don't want that, do you?
No.
So give this a shot. I've only been using it for a couple days, so I'm not entirely familiar with it, but Parsec.tv. It is game streaming. They've got a single client. You can install it on your gaming PC at home and then install the client on Android, on a Raspberry Pi, which is a $35 computer, if you guys don't know. You can put it on other machines, your Mac, whatever. And you can stream from your host PC out to whatever other client you've got. And it works really, really well.
All right. Nice.
So I've actually got this on a... There's a bunch of different cloud providers that offer GPU cloud servers. I've got one stood up right now with Parsec on it. My current gaming PC has 122 gigs of RAM.
Oh!
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Jeez. No
yeah. So I don't get the option. Like, they've got like tiers, and I don't have the option to make it lower. But yeah. So if you wanted to set up like a cloud system to play games on, make sure to turn it off when you're not using it, or else it'll keep charging you money. But you can literally pay by the hour for a gaming rig. In Parsec, you don't have to set this up yourself. They have a thing where you can pay them money, and they do all the server work, and they send it up themselves. It's actually a really cool system.
Huh. That's interesting. I didn't even know something like that existed.
That's really cool. I know you could do it, because you have PlayStation Now, which is essentially streaming. And then you have... I was playing... what is it? Keep Talking, No One Explodes, and I was streaming that to my living room on a really subpar laptop, and it was great. So I know game streaming exists. I wonder if that's going to be the future of how you play games.
Absolutely.
I feel like that might be what people will be used to. You'll just have a monitor and your keyboard and mouse, and that's all you'd use, because it's in the monitor and you're just streaming things. You don't need anything else.
So it's really cool. I went and I installed Doom, I installed Guild Wars, I installed Rocket League. Parsec, I haven't gotten it to work on Android yet, but you can use a controller and it passes it through just perfectly. So
wow,
my issue with Dark Souls streaming is fixed thanks to Parsec. I can now stream using this client instead of Steam's in-home streaming. And by the way, Parsec will actually give you a full desktop view, You can alt tab out. You can do other things that Steam and home streaming won't give you. It's really cool. Oh, and by the way, the software is free. Wow. So go pull it. If you like forward ports on your home machine through your router, you can actually do across the internet game streaming from your house.
Wow. That's really cool.
Very cool. It's really cool. But that's all the news I had. Was there any last minute stuff you guys wanted to jump in?
Other than a few shout outs that I think we have, or at least one. I think that's all for me, Adam.
No, I really can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Okay. All right.
We'll just go right into the shout outs then. Adam, do you have that up?
I do, yes. So Sidewinder, our buddy Sidewinder, thank you for the subscription today.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate that.
I'd also like to thank myself for the subscription today. I forgot my Prime thing was up, and I tried to use our little emote thing in chat to be stupid, and I was like, oh, you're not subscribed here. Like, oh, okay.
Well, oh, shit. Is mine up? Mine's probably up.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to fix that.
We're good at this.
We
are professionals.
Either way, Sidewinder, you're number one, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Sidewinder, for the subscription. For real, though. Not even joking.
Right.
I really appreciate that. Super cool.
Yeah. Your subscription helps me get even more gigs of RAM, because 122 is not nearly enough. I guess like the graphics card and whatever gaming cloud server I'm running has enough oomph to like encode 18 1080p streams at the same time or something.
A what?
Damn.
Yeah, like wow. it's nuts.
Last minute shout out, V Dabe, thank you for subscribing with Prime.
Oh my gosh. Down to the wire.
Snuck in a chair at the end. Just
murder.
Before.
Murder those subscribe buttons. Kill them.
Drop a hydrogen bomb on the subscribe button.
Decimate the population.
Just don't say any racial slurs on stream.
Yes.
Oh,
please.
Shit. Proto Tricks.
Proto Tricks.
Oh my God.
Holy crap.
Stop
the stream. Still not right at the end. Let us stop the stream.
It's not going to prevent you from getting timed out, but thank you anyway.
good point.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris. I think that's all we've got, unless someone else subscribes last minute. So thank you everyone for tuning in to 72 Pin Connector. You can catch us all over the internet at I'm pulling up our list so I don't forget anything. I agree, Sidewinder. This is just another fake ending. If you want to subscribe to our podcast in MP3 format or see any links, including our Discord channel, head to 72pinconnector.com. Follow us on Twitter at 72PCPodcast. You can get us on YouTube, where we post Lost and Found, Irk Side of the Moon, and Jolly Cooperation every week. YouTube.com/72pinconnector. And if you're really old school, you can email us fanmail at 72pinconnector.com. I will not open any pdf.exe files, so don't you even try. And that's about it. Tonight, the postcast community game is World of Tanks. It is free on Steam. Go pull it. I'll be playing on my cloud gaming rig, which I am super happy with. Thank you, Parsec.tv. They are not a sponsor, but they make cool technology. So join us then. We'll have it up here shortly. If you would like to just watch or hang out or chill, we'll be back soon. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.